Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah, in the region of Zuph, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, and of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at the time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons?" Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of Heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of my great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently." "Whatever you think is best," Elkanah agreed. "Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise." So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. All of 1 Samuel chapter 1. Lord, thank you once again for the wonderful and the powerful and the grace and light-filled story of Hannah and her desire as a young wife to simply be the mother of a little boy. Thank you for the many important life lessons every believer can draw as we look at the wisdom and the grace, your grace at work in Hannah's heart and mind. Lord, teach us how to pray. Empower us to be the praying church more and more that you've called us to be, and anoint us afresh. Set us on fire with the spirit of prayer. Set us on fire with the spirit of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Empower us more and more to be the praying church you want us to be. Thank you for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you not only the church, but set our nation on fire with your spirit of mercy, grace, and light in the name of Jesus. Thank you for us as the church, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, love, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd teach us more about how to pray. I ask that you'd challenge us to grow in our prayers, that we'd ask for more things. We'd ask for more truth, for more of you, for more promises, for more fulfillment, Father. Father, you're so good, and you give everything that is good. Everything that is good and from above is from you, Father. And I ask that you'd bring to our minds all the ways that you've provided in the past and remind us all the ways that you've promised to provide in the future. Father, we depend on you, and we thrive whenever we live each moment just being present with you, Father. So we ask for more of you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Well, in this season of the year, coming up to Mother's Day, it's a good thing. Of course, it's good to honor your mother all year long, not just around the season of Mother's Day, but in honor of mothers, in honor of the Lord first and foremost, and mothers as well. We have been sharing some passages that deal with insights we can learn from the mothers of the Bible. I want to share from 2 Timothy chapter 1, which is another one of those passages, and insight about the importance of mothers, but actually mothers and fathers too, being diligent to disciple our children, being diligent to teach and train them to be students of God's Word, teach and train them to read the Word of God every day, teaching and training them how to pray, how important it is that we as parents take very seriously the importance of teaching and training our children to become prayer warriors. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I have been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of his, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I'm suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family, because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. All of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you, Lord, again for the wonderful example of Bible mothers in a number of occasions who were good role models for their children, who lived a life that honored you, and who were wise in seeking to share their faith and their trust in you with their children. Father, anoint every mother and father listening with a fresh anointing of the spirit of discipleship. Help us to become much more diligent when it comes to reading and studying your word each and every day. Thank you for that opportunity. We thank and praise you for it. And Lord, help us to grow an understanding of the need for us to be very, very passionate about teaching our children to read, teaching and training our children to read your word every day. Help us as parents to be wise enough to make it a priority to have our young children to literally every day sit and come and read the word, a good goal being 3 chapters a day out loud to us. Help us to know, Lord, that there's nothing that our children need more than your precious and powerful word, and help us to make that the priority you would have us to make it. And Lord, guide us in being wise and committed to teaching and training our children how to pray. Lord, help us to be wise in being good role models before our children, allowing them to hear us and see us taking the time to make time to pray in our homes. And help us to be wise enough to teach and train and guide them in learning to pray themselves. Help us to know, Lord, that of all the things they take with them, Jesus Christ is the most important thing they will take into their futures. As many children are looking forward to graduating from high school and young people from college and otherwise, Lord, help us as parents to do all we can to pray for them and point them in the right direction, point them to Jesus Christ. Teach and train them to live for Christ, to run after Christ, to be here to fulfill their God-ordained purpose as they know Jesus and walk with Jesus each and every day. Father, thank you for guiding us and helping us to mold and shape and train and direct our children into a life that honors and glorifies and pleases you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So I would encourage you to take time to read through just a number of the great passages that deal with mothers of the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, of course, is one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, as we've read as well. Proverbs chapter 31 is another one. And there are any of a number of other passages as well. But reading through them will encourage those of you who are moms and encourage others to know how to better appreciate your moms as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.
Walls Group, the song simply entitled The Prayer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we want to invite you to focus on specifically a book that I had the privilege of writing. The book is entitled The Intercession Chronicles, and it's a novel that we wrote, but I want to share with you the message and the mission behind the book. I want to summarize it for you. The book is, again, it's fiction, but it's based on, in fact, pretty much all the examples that I use of answered prayers are based on true accounts or stories that I learned of or read about. And one of the goals behind the book, one of the goals behind the mission of the book is to help believers to become much more serious and better equipped prayer warriors. You know, in my years, almost 50 years as a pastor, I found that everybody needs help in their prayer life, absolutely everyone. And so tools and truths and insights that strengthen us and encourage us in our prayer life can be very, very important. So the book, The Intercession Chronicles, is meant to be a tool to do just that, to help a tool whereby the Holy Spirit can reach into your heart and set your prayer life on fire in your life, and to strengthen your prayer life as well. So again, the title of the book, The Intercession Chronicles, and I'm going to share portions from the book. And let me be very clear too, you know, this being the season in which we're celebrating and honoring our mothers. Well, in part, the book is largely about the prayer life of a mom for her son. Now, she has a number of children, but this particular book focuses on the prayer life for her oldest son, who happens in the book to be named Jesse Lenore. And so I'm going to share the initial introduction and chapter, which helps introduce some of the goals and again, the mission behind the book. Again, the title of the book, The Intercession Chronicles. Introduction. The Intercession Chronicles is a novel. It's fiction that seeks to help disciple believers, helping them grow in grace in their walk with God and particularly in their prayer lives. It's also a tool to encourage believers to make prayer a much greater kingdom priority in their lives. It's also a tool to help us grow in our understanding of the critical connection between prayer and angelic activity. The Intercession Chronicles, Book 1, Chapter 1, A Praying Mother. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Again, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I, Elijah, the chronicling angel, would like to share a story that draws together a number of perspectives. The perspectives focus on and around the life of Jesse Lenore. And not only Jesse Lenore, but also the prayer and intercession that was invested in and over his life. Prayers and intercession prayed and sacrificially poured out largely by Jennie Mae Lenore, Jesse's mother, and Jesse himself. My goal in sharing this story is to help you to better learn and comprehend the value and the powerful place prayer and intercession hold in the work of and the building of the kingdom of God and in the lives of believers. It's critical for believers to grasp this truth, that believers are called to live lives given to prayer. They are, in fact, called to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. A mother's blanket of prayer. When you were young and it was cold outside, with a blanket, I covered you with care. Now that you are older and the world is much colder, I now cover you with a blanket of prayer. Author unknown. I remember as a child that Mama was a woman who took prayer very, very seriously. It seemed to me that Mama, spending time talking to the Lord, was one of the most, spending time talking to the Lord was one of the most important things in the world. As best as I can remember, Mama got up early in the morning, every morning, got on her knees and spent time talking with the Lord. Mama seemed to spend a long time every day having conversations with the Lord, thanking and praising Him, singing to Him, and sometimes laughing with Him. Seems she had a good time with the Lord every morning. Yep, each morning she'd get up, get down on her knees, prop up next to her bed, and just spend time talking with Jesus. It seemed like to me that the whole world stood still when Mama prayed. And not only the world, but heaven too. In my child's mind, I imagine hearing the Lord on His throne in heaven saying to the angels and the seraphim and cherubim, "Y'all be still and hush now. My daughter Jenny Mae is praying, and I need to hear every word so I can answer her every prayer." Mama prayed for many different things, but I believe she probably prayed more for us, her six children, than anything else. She prayed for me, Jesse, the oldest, Elaine and James, Thomas, Bobby, and Sarah. The assignment. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? And let me deviate for just a moment. The scene now switches from earth and Jesse talking about his mother's, his memory of his mom praying. And now the scene is in heaven where angels are talking and conversing. Isaac stood next to his apprentice Daniel and gazed through the earth portal. Through the observation portal on earth, they could observe any scene on earth that they needed to see. The portal gave a very clear picture of young Jesse, a newborn baby boy, as he cried and wiggled in the arms of a doctor in the delivery room. Isaac then turned his firm gaze from the portal and looked at his apprentice Daniel and said, "Daniel, this little one is your new assignment. As of this day, he is your responsibility. Now allow me to explain to you this truth. Your last assignment, John Duncan, was a good man. And so, you know, he lived a long, quiet life. Yet the sad truth is, though John was a believer, he lived and grew up in a largely prayerless life and environment. His parents were not believers, and very few members of his family were. So John had very few people who ever prayed for him, and he himself prayed very little. That's why, of course, that you rarely had the opportunity to do things for him. Praise God for his high school coach, Coach Rick Jackson, a strong disciple of the Lord who prayed for him, shared the gospel with him, and led him to Christ. I sure wish John would have been around that coach a lot longer, but John only played football for that 1 year in high school. Glory be to the Lord, it was long enough for John to hear the gospel and come to know Christ. So consequently, John received very little discipleship in his life. That's so tragic because John had a great plan from the Lord. He simply missed out on receiving most of that plan and living it out. Believers who seldom pray miss so much of the glorious life they could live if they would just spend time praying and communing with God the Father and find out His plan for their lives. With this little baby boy, your journey with him will be extremely different. And this is the reason why. His mother, Jenny Mae Lenore, is a mighty prayer warrior. She lives on her knees. She's largely the reason you're about to get super busy. Jenny Mae has prayed intensely for this little guy before he was born, while he was in her womb, and when he was born. During his delivery, we had to do some heavy warfare because of an attack from the dark warriors. They blitzed by order of the devil himself. They tried to take little Jesse out before he got here. But again, Jenny Mae's prayers, along with some prayer warriors from her church, allowed us to use all the power necessary to defeat the attacking foes. And as they prayed, we prevailed. See Exodus 17:8-16. Prayers prayed by and for your assigned person is what will help keep you very busy. Very, very busy. Yes, prayer and intercession will keep you on the go. There are other things that Jesse and or his mom will do that will affect your work too, Daniel. The words of faith they speak, their attitude, and their obedience to the word of God, all of these and a few other things they will do will affect what you can and cannot do for him. Their faith and their prayers and prayer life and how they put these weapons to work affect you and what you will have and will not have the opportunity to do. Now, until Jesse grows and begins to mature, much depends on his mother's prayers. But nothing to be concerned about. Jenny May is going to pray. You can count on that. So be aware, you're going to stay busy. With that, Daniel rose up and glided swiftly to his destination, Earth. Now, chapter 2. The Mysterious Friend. When I was 11 years old, I remember very clearly an experience that forever changed my life. It was an incident. It made me realize that my mama's prayers were very important to me in my life. I was visiting with my Uncle Fred one summer. His home was out in the country, east of West Point, Mississippi, around 9 miles or so. His house sat right on the edge of some very thick woods that spread out for miles with very few clearings. One day, early on a Monday morning, I went for a walk in the woods a ways down. Butler, Uncle Fred's dog, trotted alongside me. I was an explorer. I just enjoyed discovering new places and clearings in the woods that I'd never found before. I walked for what must have been miles down into Uncle Fred's bottom land. I, along with Butler, came into a clearing by a spacious pond with lots of plants growing out in the water. All of a sudden, Butler froze in his tracks. He growled lowly and stared at something that was maybe 2 feet in front of us. "What is it, Butler?" I said, as I took a step closer, not having any thoughts of danger at all. When I came and almost stood over whatever the thing was, suddenly I felt a large thud hit my foot. I suddenly also felt something pierce my shoe, then my foot. I quickly looked down at my foot just in time to see a large snake pull its fangs out of my shoe and slither away very swiftly. For a few seconds, I was dazed at all that had happened in those few moments. Then I realized I've been bitten by a snake. My mind raced to both try to stay calm and consider what I needed to do. I got to get back to Uncle Fred's house. Somebody needs to get me to a hospital, quick. I quickly turned around and started to run back in the direction of Uncle Fred's house. I ran maybe 25 or 30 feet, and then I fell. Pain surged through my foot, yet I knew that somehow I needed to figure out how to get back to the house. I stood, but the pain suddenly became overwhelming. I tried once again to run, but then I kind of blacked out. Moments later, I sensed someone approaching, and I whispered, "Thank you, Lord, for sending help." I felt two strong arms slide under me and pick me up. Then this person started carrying me. I momentarily looked up as I said, "Thank you, Lord, for sending Uncle Fred." But it wasn't Uncle Fred. It was a man with a very kind, peaceful face who just looked at me and slightly smiled. "Who are you?" I said as I felt myself becoming faint. "A friend," he said. "I've come because of your mother." "How did you find me?" I said in almost a whisper. "Just rest," he said. And at that point, I guess I blacked out. The next thing I remember, I woke up in a hospital bed. I slowly became conscious of my surroundings and realized I was in a hospital. Things slowly came to focus for me, and then I saw Mama, Uncle Fred, and a doctor. "Mama, what happened?" I said before them all. When Mama heard me speak, she leaped from her chair where she was sitting, leaned over me, hugged me, and began to cry as she thanked and praised the Lord. "Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My baby is all right." Uncle Fred, in his loud, booming voice, said, "Praise the Lord. Boy, you sure had us concerned for the last 24 hours. We all talked for a time, and I learned more details of what happened. Mama was at work when she got an emergency call from Uncle Fred. She left work and drove the 3.5 hours to West Point and the hospital. "I was praying in the spirit the whole time I was driving," she told me. Mama and Uncle Fred spent the night in the hospital room in chairs beside my bed. The doctor remarked, It was touch and go there for a while, but he's stable now, and I believe he's going to be fine. The doctor discharged me from the hospital, and several hours later, I was back at home with Uncle Fred. There at the house, Mama, Uncle Fred, and I had a chance to talk. Boy, where were you when you got snake bit? Asked Uncle Fred. Uncle Fred, me and Butler were way down in your bottom land, near a pond with a lot of cattails and other stuff growing in the water. You were way down by that old pond? Boy, you gotta be lying. Ain't no way, after getting bit like you did, that you could have walked half a mile, much less 2.5 miles. You couldn't have walked that far. I didn't walk, I said. Well, how in the world did you get away down from there? We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're sharing from the book, The Intercession Chronicles. We'll be right back. Of Rich Mullins with Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we're sharing from my book, The Intercession Chronicles. Again, it's a book that's it's a novel, but it's fiction, but it's based on truths and insights about Christians praying and being people of prayer. And one of the goals behind the book is to teach a believer to become a serious, help a believer to become a serious prayer warrior. Let me just mention, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, it can be found, you can get it at Barnes & Noble online or Amazon.com. Would mention that resources.afa.net is where you can go, but I would mention it just so happens right now we're out of stock here in the AFA bookstore. It will be back. We'll have them back in probably a couple weeks, but we happen to be out of stock, but you can get it immediately. And also would mention both the book and the ebook form are available at Life Rich Publishing. So if you'd like to get either the book or the ebook copy or get it in ebook form, go to Life Rich, LIFERICH Publishing. And at Life Rich Publishing, that's where you can get it in ebook form. So picking up where we left off again as we're sharing from chapter 2, again, picking up where we left off, close to where we left off. The doctor remarked it was touch and go there for a while, but he's stable now. I believe he's going to be fine. The doctor discharged me from the hospital, and several hours later, I was back at home with Uncle Fred. There at the house, Mama, Uncle Fred, and I had a chance to talk. "Boy, where were you when you got snake bit?" asked Uncle Fred. "Uncle Fred, me and Butler were way down in your bottom land, near a pond with a lot of cattails and other stuff growing in the water. You were way down by that old pond? Boy, you gotta be kidding me. Ain't no way after getting bit like you did that you could have walked half a mile, much less 2.5 miles. You couldn't have walked that far." "I didn't walk," I said. "Well, how in the world did you get from way down there all the way to my porch where I found you passed out? You were laying right by my rocking chair on the front porch. How else did you get there if you didn't walk?" "I guess Mama's friend must have carried me all the way from near the pond to your front porch." Mama turned and looked at me with a very puzzled look. "What friend are you talking about?" Mama said. Well, whoever he was that you sent to help me. But how did you know to send somebody, Mama? How did you even know I was in trouble?" "Again, what friend are you talking about?" Mama said. "Mama, some friend of yours came and picked me up and carried me. Right after he picked me up, I guess I blacked out. But I guess before I blacked out, I asked him who he was or where did he come from. He just said something about knowing you or being sent by you or something like that. Who was it you sent, Mama?" "Jesse, I don't know what you're talking about." "Well, Mama, who was your friend?" "Jesse, Monday morning, I was at work at my desk, and I did hear the Holy Spirit tell me, 'Pray for Jesse. Pray right now.' And I took time right then and there to stop what I was doing at my desk, and I turned off my computer and started to pray. And I prayed for a while. Then I sensed the Holy Spirit tell me everything is going to be all right, and I ended my prayer time. Then maybe 50 minutes or an hour later, Uncle Fred called me from the hospital in West Point. But son, I didn't send any friend." Then in a moment of realization, I understood exactly what happened. God sent an angel to help me, who was the one who came and picked me up and carried me. He apparently carried me all the way to Uncle Fred's front porch on that day and laid me down there on Uncle Fred's porch. And he obviously came because of Mama's prayers. Once again, the scene switches to heaven. "Tell me, Isaac," said Daniel curiously. "I was under the impression that when a child moves into adulthood, that the child is no longer under the wing of his parents, that the father and mother are basically finished with the task of raising and praying for their child. Is that kind of the way it is?" Isaac started to laugh out loud. "Daniel, you have a lot to learn about the relationships between parents and children in the kingdom of God." Isaac continued, "One portion of their job as parents is done when the child moves into adulthood. But the job of a parent praying and interceding for the child certainly doesn't end there. If anything, it's to become more intense. What should happen is that, in regards to prayer, parents and children should become somewhat like brothers and or sisters in Christ and should pray intently for each other. A parent should pray diligently for his or her children, and the child should pray diligently for his or her parents every day for the rest of their lives. So parents and children should become sort of best friends in their prayer relationship." "That's what's supposed to happen," said Isaac sighingly. "Sadly, it hasn't nearly happened in as many families as it should." "So does the job of praying for children ever come to an end?" Daniel asked. "Sure it does," replied Isaac. "When the parent or the child comes home to heaven, at least it ends on the earth side for the one who passes away." "Oh, okay," Daniel said with a very unsatisfied expression on his face. End of chapter 2. And then one final chapter we're just going to draw from, one more chapter from the book is entitled "The Cat from Heaven." "Uncle Jesse, I want a cat," said Lizzie, my 8-year-old niece. "Well, Lizzie, you need to talk to your mom and the Lord about your getting a cat," I told her. I'd been visiting with my sister Elaine and her family for 3 days and really enjoyed talking with little Lizzie. Lizzie had only recently accepted Jesus into her heart as her Lord and Savior, and I saw how she seemed to have a great hunger for the Word of God. She started reading her Bible every day, faithfully reading her 3 chapters every day, and she was really learning how to pray. If your mom says you can get one, the Lord has lots of cats, I told little Lizzie. He does? Well, where does he keep them, said Lizzie. Well, I suppose he's got lots of them, lots of cats in heaven, I replied. Okay, well, I'm going to ask Mom, she said as she hurried out of the room. Mom, Lizzie said to her mother, very enthusiastically, can I have a cat? No, you may not. We don't need a cat, said Lizzie's mom very firmly. Uncle Jesse said that he thinks God has lots of cats in heaven, she responded very seriously. Oh, he did he? Elaine said with a slight smile on her face. No, we don't need a cat. Please, Mom, I would take good care of him, and you wouldn't have to do anything for him, pleaded Lizzie. Lizzie, I tell you what, Uncle Jesse thinks the Lord has lots of cats in heaven. You can have one if the Lord sends you one, said Elaine. And with that, Elaine assumed the matter was over. Little did Elaine realize that her words simply fired up her daughter, Lizzie. Lizzie left the room where her mother was, went and told Uncle Jesse, I'm going to go pray for the Lord to send me a cat. Mom said I could have one if the Lord sent me one. Well, Lizzie, I'm going to pray and believe the Lord with you for one, replied Uncle Jesse. Lizzie then marched out of the house and into the backyard, walked onto the back patio, and got down on her knees and began to petition her Heavenly Father for a cat. About 10 minutes later, little Lizzie hurried back into the house. Mom, she shouted, the Lord sent me a cat. There in Lizzie's arms was a pretty gray and white, very frightened small kitten. Where did you get that cat? Shouted her mother. I was in the backyard and I had just finished praying for the Lord to send me a cat. Then all of a sudden, this kitten came flying from the sky and landed in the bushes. God sent me a cat from heaven and he answered me real fast. Elaine was speechless and she was also very unhappy with herself for her words she'd shared with her little Lizzie just a little while before. Then the scene switches to heaven. Daniel, what is your main assignment today? Asked Isaac. Well, my main task today is I'm to deliver a cat to Lizzie, Jesse's niece. Isaac then said, do you know where you're going to get the cat? Daniel replied, I sure do. And he walked away with a smile. Then the scene once again reverts back to earth. Pastor Johnson, a retired pastor in the community who lived in the neighborhood, was a little frustrated. His cat had a litter of 5 kittens. However, one of the little kittens seemed to be stuck up in a small tree. A dog had frightened and chased the little gray and white kitten up a tree, and Pastor Johnson could not get the little kitten down. Well, an idea hit Pastor Johnson. I'll tie a rope, tie it to a tree, tie the other end to my car bumper. Then I can slowly pull the tree forward, bend the little tree down low enough to rescue the kitten. Pastor Johnson said to himself, I'm a genius. Pastor Johnson's bright idea seemed to be working just fine at first. He slowly pulled his car forward, and the little tree slowly bent down to a point where the little kitten could be reached. Then he put his car in park and marched around to retrieve the little kitten. His great plan seemed to be working fine. However, just before he reached the tree to rescue the kitten, the rope tied to his bumper to the tree snapped. The little tree became a catapult, snapped back upright, and the little kitten went sailing through the sky. Pastor Johnson looked and looked and could not find that little kitten. And that was that. End of the chapter, The Cat from Heaven. Again, if you'd be interested in getting a copy of the book, again, at the end of the book, keep in mind, it has a prayer guide with the kingdom prayers that we send to listeners sometimes. That prayer guide is in the back of the book, The Intercession Chronicles. We'd be glad to get that to you if you'd like to get that prayer guide to you if you'd like to get that as well. But if you'd like to get the book, again, you can go to Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or you can go to Life Rich Publishing, where the book is available both in book form and in ebook form as well. Hope that you will get a copy. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord and be saved, would you simply pray this prayer from your heart with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray and seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and invited Christ in your heart, please get in touch with us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and put down deep roots in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We definitely want to get in touch with you. Again, please call us. Email us, joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Thanks again for listening to The Hour of Intercession. Once again, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, The Intercession Chronicles, you can find it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. Will be available in a couple weeks or so here at resources.afa.net as well. At Life Rich Publishing, you can get it in book form or ebook form. Again, that's Life Rich Publishing. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for The Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.